Hey there, architecture enthusiast. Nikita Reed here, inviting you on an incredible journey through time and space with my podcast, Tangible Remnants. Historic preservation and sustainability? Let's go ahead right now and debunk the myth that they are opposites. In fact, they are two sides of the same coin, shaping our collective future.
In a work environment, it has been challenging because I've had to probably do more than double just to make sure that I quote unquote fit in. But the environments that have allowed me to do me on the front end, I've been extremely successful.
You look at all these PhDs, they've built that on the backs of our elders.
Absolutely.
What they consider themselves to be experts at is what they've worked with us to achieve.
I know we have to prioritize people before products and before place.
Join me as we unravel the stories of historic buildings shaped by the people of a specific era and often influenced by race and gender. These tangible remnants are windows into our past and guideposts for the future. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now to Tangible Remnants. Let's explore the interconnectedness of architecture, preservation, sustainability, race, and gender. Welcome back to another episode of She Builds Podcast, where we usually share the untold stories of women in the building and construction industry. I'm Lizzie Rahr with a blueberry crumble in the oven in Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Jessica Rogers with some bacon in the oven in Miami, Florida.
And I'm Nurjiti Rivas with a bun in the oven in Houston, Texas.
Yeah! Woo!
If you didn't listen to Nurjiti's birthday charrette this year, you missed a very special announcement.
That's right. I'm currently 3D printing a human being, and this model is scheduled to come out June 2026. So actually, by the time you hear this, the bun is out.
Fully cooked bun over there.
Mm-hmm.
This season was such a rush because, well, I'm going through a lot of changes, but also literally because we had to get it all done before the baby made the big debut.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we worked pretty quickly to make it all happen, but we made it to recording episode 160 with you still here before baby came. So that is a feat in itself.
Yeah.
We did. It was kind of cool to see how quickly we could pull off a season. I might get used to this.
I mean, well, felt a little rushed,
yeah. But
I mean, we did have a plan for you to drop off if needed, but we managed it.
Yeah, there's a lot of schedule reworking at times, but we made it.
We made it. Episode 160, we are here.
Yeah, season 15 wrap up. As a reminder, the wrap-up episode is where we reflect on the season we just had, discuss a little more about everything we learned, and share news with the listeners. So, what did you think of this season? Collective Impact, exploring AEC organizations and professionals shaping a more inclusive, innovative built environment.
Okay. So, actually, before we talk about the season, can we at least talk about the fact that not only is this our wrap-up for the season, but it's also our six-year anniversary of launching the podcast, y'all.
What?
It's our birthday.
Wow. Yeah. On this day in 2020, we took the big plunge.
Yeah, it's wild to think that was 6 years ago. And yet also feels like a long time since I was sitting on the floor in front of my closet in SF trying to get my sound to sound good, you know?
Yeah.
The podcast has been such a great experience. I've learned so much about these women and I've loved it. And I've been really inspired by the fact that we have so many more ladies to talk about still.
Oh, yeah. And if you think about it, like you said, we're not in the same place or the same space we were in 6 years ago. We're in different cities now, different places, and different life stages.
Yeah. Also, the show has grown a lot, too. Our sound, how we organize ourselves in our seasons, the topics we cover, the reach. It has been a great 6 years. I'm excited for the next six.
Hear, hear.
Well, speaking of the season overall, it has been one of my favorite seasons so far. I just really enjoyed learning the history behind so many different collectives and events, and learning about so many groups I'd never knew before. I was so inspired by the different change makers we discussed, the positive impact they've had in our industry. For me, it was really great.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all love an origin story. Most, if not all, of these groups are still active today, which is awesome.
I really liked learning about these different organizations that I hadn't heard about, but I also liked learning the origin stories and more about ones that I did know or are more well-known, right?
Same.
I think what's also worth noting is that since some of these organizations might be fairly young or some of the people are still living, or there's just little information that we could find of some of these women. We nag on the documentation of Our Lady sometimes, Julia Morgan, but I would like to see some more cohesive documentation of these organizations moving forward.
Wow, that's a great critique, Jessica.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it, of how like we've had to do a lot of interesting things on our show, either focus on the lady, briefly talk about the organization, or talk about multiple ladies and then the organization, or multiple organizations and a little bit about a lady. Anyway, but thank you about my critique. Okay. So ladies, does anyone have anything related to the season that they need to clarify or want to add?
Actually, I do. I want to touch on something I wanted to talk about on episode 156, but had to edit out due to time. As we all know, being a woman in architecture can feel like an isolating experience at times, but I really can't start to imagine what it's like as a woman in construction, in the field, in the trades. Okay, first of all, PPE is not even properly made for us.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about that in a construction context, but that makes sense. So PPE stands for personal protective equipment, and it is gear that is worn for safety to avoid workplace injury or illness. I mean, I would guess nowadays most people are associating it with medical professions, but PPE is a very broad category that covers protective equipment for any type of job, including construction. Think hard hats, steel toe boots, safety glasses, earmuffs, things like that.
Yes. Actually, let's pause here. I want to talk more about PPE. First, my favorite thing. Let's talk history.
Oh boy, she's going deep, folks.
Here we go down the waterfall.
Basically, PPE has been around way longer than we may think. It goes all the way back to ancient times. As per a lot of other inventions and technology of the human race, we can trace it back to wars.
Makes sense. But how so?
First recorded history of PPE is what soldiers were wearing in battle. Their helmets, face protection, body armor, and things like that. Basically, attire to keep themselves alive. Which is what PPE is, even to this day. Maybe less dramatic. Attire to keep ourselves from getting very hurt and to stay alive.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about it in that historic context, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
In terms of armor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Later on in everyday jobs, people started using PPE too. In the Middle Ages, blacksmiths wore gloves, aprons, and shields to protect themselves from hot metal. Factory workers, miners, and construction workers also used things like hard hats to avoid injuries from falling objects.
Yep, sounds reasonable. It's a matter of survival here, okay? And you can't create or work if you're too busy tending your wounds or, like, you know, deceased.
Yeah. The problem was that wearing protective gear was optional, at least in the U.S., and there weren't any real rules in place to protect workers. You know, much like Houston, there's not a law to wear a helmet when riding motorcycles. Just making that connection. Literally, live free or die. Wrong state, same motto.
This sounds like life before seatbelts. Like once upon a time, seatbelts and car seats were optional too.
True.
Ah, yikes. Well, some people were little do-gooders like me, and they were like, yo, this shit. We can't have people willy-nilly at work in construction sites just hanging from hundreds of feet in the air, eating lunch, sitting on a hanging beam. It looks really cool for pictures, but actually bad for the economy when people working age die. in the long run. So let's think of something to fix this. And just like that, with that great speech, in the 1970s, the Occupational Safety and Health Act was passed.
Just like that with that speech, huh?
Now, Judy, the politician.
You know it.
Yeah.
Well, for me. That led to the creation of Occupational Safety and Health Administration, aka OSHA, a year later. This made workplace safety a much bigger priority. OSHA was responsible for creating safety standards, investigating accidents, and figuring out what protective equipment workers needed for different jobs, to say the least. Actually, it's crazy how encompassing OSHA is. They are responsible for a lot more than I can quickly think of because I always associate them with construction, but no, they're looking out for all workers in any field.
Yeah, OSHA covers all workplace safety, like even at our offices.
Yeah. So really, since the 1970s, PPE has been taken seriously and continued to improve as companies and industries have worked to keep people safer on the job because they kind of have no other choice. Just saying. Now, the problem is, like in so many other things in society, the default is men who have a certain body type that is quite dissimilar to a woman. So the one-size-fits-all myth often means PPE fits us big, which defeats the purpose.
Mm, yeah. It's just like how seatbelts are designed for men's bodies, not women's.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly like that. And if someone wants to argue with me, well, Norjuri, men are the ones historically in this field, I would respond, you're right. I'll give you that. At one point, women weren't even allowed to work in the spaces. So, okay, PPE started out for men. That's fine. But it is 2026 and women are in the field. Even if the numbers aren't 50-50, they are still there and they have a right to safety too.
Yeah.
I love how a man came to support.
Yeah. Yeah. With authority.
Then another argument, well, women don't want to do those jobs. My response is, please show me the highly scientific study you conducted to reach that conclusion. Oh, you did it? Okay, show me the multiple research papers you read that proves this. Nothing? Okay, great. So this is based on your hocus-pocus perceptions. Do you even talk to women? Like, where are you getting this from? Also, if the profession continues being so unwelcoming to women, starting out with their literal well-being, how can we be expected to be equal anytime soon?
I like this argument with just yourself, you know?
Yeah. It's like her in front of a mirror.
Exactly.
It's not just myself, though. You know people say this crap.
I know. No, I know. But, like, that you're having it with yourself right now.
She has, like, a whole tennis match in her head.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's true. I mean, how can we expect more women to want to get into the profession if it's not set up for them or going to keep them safe?
Yeah. And we're talking about way more than just bathrooms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I bet many women are interested. They just fear for their safety. And if someone else wants to say, oh, what's the big deal? Then we can say, oh, sir, thank you so much for asking, because you know it's a sir who's saying that. Let me tell you, properly sized helmets, harnesses, vests, boots, gloves, earplugs, and eye protection are essential in a job site to reduce tripping hazards, machinery accidents, and injury risk. When PPE doesn't fit, it hinders someone's ability to do their job and puts them at risk. That's the big deal.
Absolutely. And companies and OSHA should care about that, not just from a safety standpoint, which feels obvious and humanly decent, but also from a liability standpoint. Like, if PPE isn't going to keep your workers or people who visit your site regularly, clients, architects, etc., safe, which will likely include women, then you're opening yourself up to potential legal issues as well.
Great point, Lizzie. OSHA thought so too.
Great. Glad we're on the same page.
Finally, as of January of last year, OSHA requires that PPE fits every employee properly. So steps are being taken in the right direction. But seriously, it took until 2025 to make this a rule? I mean, better late than never, I guess.
I suppose, but it seems pretty darn late.
Super late.
The National Association of Women in Construction, aka NAWIC, offers resources and advocacy for proper PPE on their website. And the Center for Construction Research and Training, aka CPWR, has a list of companies providing women's PPE. Even includes maternity PPE. That's exciting.
Wow.
I wish I knew of this list when I had to get steel toe boots a few months ago. The ones I had were, they needed a replacement. Anyway, I went to a store where my husband found six long aisles of boots with many different styles. And I found literally three different boots in the women's sizes, which I didn't like. They weren't comfortable. I got annoyed. I ended up doing what all of us do, which is buy a men's boot in a small size.
Man, that's a bummer that you didn't know about this list beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Not PPE related, but I had a similar experience with soccer cleats when I was a kid.
Sort of PPE related.
Sure.
Well, I'll put links to the NAWIC and the CPWR on our show notes so that listeners can check out those options and not get annoyed like I did that day. Get yourself good PPE that fits you.
Great. Can't wait to check it out.
Me too. I'm glad it's out there now so that others don't have to go through what you went through, Nujity. The maternity one, that's game changer.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, that was a lot longer than I thought. I'm so sorry. I will get off my soapbox now. let's talk about our favorite episodes that were not our own this season.
All right, well, before I give my answer, let's hear a word from our sponsors. And we're back. Okay, favorite episode that wasn't my own. I think I gotta go with Beverly Willis and BWAF. I loved the variety in her story and hearing the beginnings of BWAF, particularly since we use their resources often for our show. So it was a particularly personal connection. Plus, she just seemed cool doing her shell bar in Hawaii and getting politicians to get her a license, you know? I liked that.
So true. That really was a great story. My favorite episode this season, I can't decide between 158 Elsie Eves or 159 Ruth Schaefer. Elsie's episode was great because we got to learn the early origin of the Society of Women Engineers. But I'm going to go with Ruth because she took them to a new level. And I really enjoyed learning about her persistence and perseverance. How she dared to dream really big and sometimes the goal was not met, but they still achieved so much than they would have achieved without her vision. Ruth resonated with me, and that's why hers was my favorite episode.
Well, my favorite was actually your episode, Nujity. The road trip across South America on episode 156 with Doris Efford and the women in construction groups. We highlighted a lot of different groups and organizations.
We did. It was fun to take a road trip.
Still wish I had my capirinha, though. Like, for real.
Okay, next question. Which society, group, or event that we talked about this season would you like to join or attend?
I'm going to go with WLS. I feel like everyone talks it up so much, and I want to see what all the hype is about. I mean, I believe the hype is real, but I want to experience it firsthand. So I hope that I'll have that opportunity someday.
Someday could be this year. It's in the Midwest. Mm. Maybe your office could support this effort.
We shall see.
Okay. I would like to attend a NOMA conference. First of all, is one of my episodes, 152, where I got to share the organization's history. And second of all, because Jessica shared how important it has been for her since our days in Syracuse. And she's been getting involved with her Miami chapter, feeling the energy. So now I really want to go. I would also like to get more involved with my Houston chapter. I'm actually a NOMA member, but I'm not participating yet as much as I would like to participate.
You should.
Get in there, girl.
Get in there. do it. I think the Houston chapter does a lot of things, actually.
They do.
As someone that either attended or organized those two events that you mentioned, I feel like I should pick one that I'm not involved in yet.
Yeah.
I'm curious, actually, about Reba, since we found out that, like, we could attend as Americans. I wonder how they would compare with, like, the AIA and, like, vibe and feel. I think in another life, maybe I would choose the APA, the American Planning Association, and I would attend one of their conferences or events.
I don't see why you can't pick that in this life.
I feel like I would do, like, actually, like, policy or something, not necessarily, like, I don't consider myself an urban planner or nowhere near that sector, but, like, maybe from the public side. I don't know. Anyway, I think it's time that we give a few life updates.
Well, I think I did that in the beginning of this episode. That's the biggest life update in my world. But actually, something architecture related is that this year I'm an architecture licensing advisor, also known as ALA, with the Texas Society of Architects. And this means that if you're in Texas or anywhere really, but mostly Texas, and you have a question about becoming a licensed architect, I'm here for you to either give you the answer or point you in the right direction. I've been enjoying it so far. I want to say a shout out to my counterpart in Texas, Mike Clough. He's been really great showing me the ropes, and we have a few ideas up our sleeves, so stay tuned.
Ooh. Well, I similarly started the season off with a big update of having moved to Chicago. I'm definitely a lot more settled in after 7 months, but I'm still exploring my new city and whatnot. Otherwise, there's not really a lot of updates on my end. Jessica, what about you?
Yeah, here, same old. Interesting that, you know, we have a season that's called Collective Impact. Back in June, we were asked to do a live recording at the Women of Construction Summit in Charleston.
Yes, we were so honored to be part of this event and speak to so many women involved in construction. Plus, we had a great time eating our way through Charleston the weekend after the conference. And listeners, you should look out for a recording of our panel discussion as a charrette in the near future.
I can't wait to hear that. Also, so jealous of all the food.
Yeah, we missed you.
You better.
Yeah, we did. We ate enough for you too.
That's right.
Thank you.
So now that we are going to be off season, that doesn't mean you won't get to see us. We have some cool things planned. Like I mentioned earlier, I will be attending the NOMA conference in October.
We might be attending WLS in November and making my WLS dreams come true, but it is still TBD. So look out to if we post that we're going.
Yep.
And as we hinted, we also might have a few charrettes headed your way in the next couple of weeks. Lots of mites, lots of surprises. We're going to surprise ourselves.
We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone pay attention to our social media for any announcements. So speaking of, let's talk about our next season a little bit. And we can announce our theme, which is
undecided.
Undecided.
A lot of maybe mites and undecided.
Yeah. Sorry, we don't have more concrete decisions, but what we can tell you is that Nergity will be taking the season off to spend time with the newest She Builds podcast listener. But Jessica and I are still figuring out what next season looks like and when we'll be back in your feeds. But in the meantime, we hope that you'll go back and listen to your favorite episodes. And as we mentioned, we're planning to have some charrettes during our break.
Yes. So listeners, this could be a great opportunity for y'all to tell us what you want to hear. Earlier this year, we did an Anything Goes season. What were your thoughts on that? Should we do it again? I don't know. Let us know.
I'm going to miss you. Doing this podcast with you is one of my favorite things.
Aww. Same. It's weird when it's not the three of us together, but we're happy to bring a sidekick into the mix.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm glad.
All right, now let's visit the Agora. The Agora is a bonus segment of our show where we share news, small or big, from listeners.
Ooh, the Agora goes to Juliana Retana. Juliana is a listener from Costa Rica who has taken on a new role as a thesis reader for the TEC, Tecnológico de Costa Rica, which is a top university in Costa Rica with one of the best architecture programs in the country. She is now helping future project management professionals, and we are so excited for her. May she mold many great minds.
Ooh, congrats, Juliana. That's great.
Yeah, way to go, Juliana.
That's awesome. Let's continue to share great news from you listeners. If you have news to share, big or small, please send them to our email, shebuildspodcast@gmail.com. Let's celebrate your accomplishments together.
All right, time to say goodbyes. Don't forget that She Builds Podcast is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. They have a bunch of shows, great shows, which we love. Gable Media is all about building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at GableMedia.com. That's GABLMedia.com.
Please let us know your thoughts on our episode and this season. If you've enjoyed this season, please help us spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your babies, tell your baby mamas and your baby daddies. Tell them to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify. Write us a review, and this will help us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn about these amazing ladies.
We're excited to hear from you and for you to come back and keep learning about bosses with us. You can email us your thoughts at shebuildspodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment on our website, shebuildspodcast.com, or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at shebuildspodcast and on X at shebuildspod.
We're going on a break while we develop season 16, and we'll be back later this year. This is a great time to tell your friends about this season, buy us a coffee and merch, re-listen to your favorite episodes, and start conversations about everyone you've heard about. So this is not goodbye, just to see you later. Until season sweet 16. Goodbye.
Adios.
Bye.
Well, oh, that's you. That's not me.
You want to do it? I give it to you.
No. Just started raining. Anyway.
All the things.
W. Bleh. We are excited to hear from you and for you to keep come. La, 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 la.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and this sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.